You're free now. Free to stream beyond your wildest dreams. Free to be everything you imagine, and then some. That's how it feels to have Quantum Fiber. Your world unleashed. Learn more at quantumfiber.com. Limited availability. Service in select locations only. KSL
at night. Welcome back to KSL at Night. I'm Greg Skordas alongside Leah Murray, and we are continuing our conversation on DEI. And part of that, Leah, is because I have more questions after the first segment than I did before, and I appreciate you answering them. Part of me still wants to know why we're doing this, but before we get there, I want to talk about how DEI relates to our younger students, the K-12, and you've indicated that it's a different conversation when we deal with that.
Yeah, it's a really different conversation because when it comes to state legislatures, where a lot of this is happening, where the laws are, right, making decisions about DEI on campuses, when it comes to K-12, they're the boss. So with higher ed, courts have ruled that faculty have the right to make decisions about their curriculum.
Okay.
So there's more defense for a faculty member than there is for a third grade teacher. So we've had on the show during the legislature, legislators who are like, we're going to make decisions about what people are allowed to talk about in class, right? And I think you and I have interviewed legislators as those bills were running through.
Right.
So the thing is, when we talk about K-12, when the legislature says it, the teachers do it. Does that make sense? Like it's a much
because
more...
Because they don't have a choice. It's
they
the
really
law.
Don't have a choice. It becomes the law. So what's interesting is 75% of our nation's children live in states where this became a political issue. Utah's on a list with Texas, Tennessee, and Florida. 33% of our students living in states like Utah, where they made legislation to restrict conversations and curriculum you can have that are related to race, sex, and gender.
And some of that occurred just recently.
Just this year.
This is this year.
This is data from the Washington Post where they were tracking thousands of bills across the country and what was going on in K-12. So this is K-12 listeners. We're not talking about higher ed anymore. 29% of students live in states where they were expanded. So to give you a very specific example of this, in Rhode Island, you cannot graduate high school unless you have passed an African heritage course. So Rhode Island said the other direction. Does that make sense? So Utah basically is like, you're not allowed to talk about this stuff. And Rhode Island said, actually, now you have to. And every student who graduates from our high schools is going to take a course in African heritage.
So like a lot of things that are going on in this country right now, it's a state-by-state decision. The legislature will decide in individual states what level and to what extent DEI will be taught in the public schools.
Yeah, and a little bit, Greg, I think it adds to the divisiveness in our country. So red states are telling their children what the world looks like, which is very different from blue states. And I kind of want to like just talk about this a little bit, the history of it. Most states, where blue states started. So in the early 2010s, they start expanding curricula to include voices of historically marginalized students. They will tell you and they will argue that they are creating conditions where all students feel welcome. There is a response after COVID. So I don't know. I don't think you had kids at home, but in COVID,
right,
I had two children at home. And so I was Google Classrooming and canvassing. And I was like basically became a high school and elementary school student again. And I was really good at it for my second time. So working with my kids. But you're very aware as a parent what they're learning when they're learning their stuff in your kitchen. As a result, and we actually heard legislators say this on the show, parents started calling their legislators and going, oh, my gosh, my kid is learning this. I wasn't really paying attention before, but now I know. So in 2021, we see a rise in restrictive bills around race, sex, and gender. So it's the blue states that move first. Does that make sense, Greg? And there's kind of like a flurry of activity after the George Floyd murders, right? So they're responding to that saying, oh my goodness, everyone needs to learn more. And then red states, we see the activity happening after COVID where Republicans, and they argue, they're restricting indoctrination. They believe that the education system is indoctrinating students to believe certain things about race, gender, and sexual identity. And parents became super aware of it during COVID, started calling legislators and demanding action. And the answer really is, Greg, is like when you call your legislator, they're going to make a bill. Right? Do you know what I mean? Like what right. legislators do is they make law. So along the K-12, what we really have is, and this is what I think is interesting, again, not my area of expertise, but I was reading a piece by someone who's an expert in the history of education. There's always been controversy about curriculum, Greg. There's always been a debate about what this should look like. It's always been state to state to state because it's one of the ones in the Constitution that's kind of protected for states to do. So when we talk about things like common curriculum, right, like that, so everyone will remember you're nodding. Like this is, we've been having these fights forever. But really, it's not been as aggressive around rules, right? So blue state Democrats are telling kids and teachers what they can talk about in their states. Republican and red states are telling their kids, and really it's not being left to school boards or local districts anymore to make the decision.
So, and I'm looking at this chart, and you started the conversation with this, that, that sort of breaks down the country in terms of education legislation related to race, gender, and sex. And Utah, like you said, is one of four states who are on the very furthest part of the chart in terms of more restrictions. Utah, along with Tennessee, Florida, and Texas. We talked about Florida and Texas as it relates to higher education, but as it relates to K-12, Utah is one of the most restrictive states in the country, or at least
Yeah,
it's right there.
I don't know if you remember, and I beg your pardon, listeners, I can't remember. So, you know, go find us on the podcast and find this segment and listen to it. I can't remember which legislator, because we spoke to so many legislators during the session, but we spoke to someone who basically said, these people are employees. I don't know if you remember this, Greg. And so he was like, in third grade, you do not need to have a flag on your wall, right, that has anything to do with some group that you are a member of. Do you remember that conversation,
right?
And I beg your pardon for, I'm just blanking on who we were talking about it with. So basically the argument here is we are telling, and much more restrictive based on my memory, K-6, right? When you get into the secondary, it opens up a little bit more, right? The answer is those teachers, those kids are a little bit more mature. Maybe we can have harder conversations, but elementary school, there's kind of a lockdown what they are allowed to talk about.
So as we get into junior high and high school, as I recall, we started talking about American history. We started talking about, of all things, slavery, things like that. I mean, curriculum is going to change. If you're talking to those teachers, I know you're not the Board of Education's attorney, but if you're talking to teacher, I guess even your husband who teaches at the high school level, and let's say he teaches history or something like that, I mean, you've got to say, you've got to have him relook at, and I hate to use a person in it specifically, but any teacher, relook at their agenda, relook at what they're talking about, because a kid could go home and say, hey, mom, we learned about this today. And mom or dad could say, wait a minute, we're not supposed to be doing that anymore.
Yeah, no, exactly. And Paul teaches, my husband teaches AP U.S. history and regular U.S. history and AP government and regular government. And he teaches about Emmett Till, who is a young man who was killed in advance of the civil rights movement. And I would argue is one of the catalysts for that movement. And he, when these bills ran through, he was like, can I still talk about Emmett Till? And then I could see him. He goes, I'm still going to talk about it. Right? Like, he was like, I am going to teach this material that is stuff that I think our kids should know.
But he could very well get called out on
that. But he could get called out on it. And one of the things he did say, which I thought was interesting, was he's like, the kids might go home and tell their parents stuff and they might not even be right. Right? Because, you know, the kids are not always listening to everything that gets taught. Right? I watch him struggle with. Now, to be clear, with high school and with elementary school, at least with my husband, all of his lessons are totally available. And I'm got kids, I'm a parent, I can see every lesson my children do, right? I hop in as a parent observer in Canvas and I can see everything. So Paul's basically like, I'm telling every parent everything I'm saying, they can always see it. Does that make sense? Like,
yes.
So he feels like because he's transparent, maybe there is some protection, but absolutely he's been thinking about it this year.
And I think that part of the legislation, I don't remember if this part of it passed, required that teachers do publish their curriculum, do make that part of their announcement at the beginning of the year, or at least beginning of the semester, saying, here's what we're going to teach and here's how we're going to teach it, so that I guess parents can go online and look at it and say, wait a minute, this is in line, or maybe this is not in line with what our current legislation is in the state of Utah.
And by the way, I don't have a huge issue with this. All of my syllabi are public. I put them on a website, right? And Paul, like I said, all of his stuff is in Canvas. His worry is some of the restrictions, for example, if he shows up one day and half the kids are out on a field trip, he might adjust a lesson plan on the fly,
sure,
right? And so then his concern is if the rule says the lesson plans have to be laid out in August for the next 180 days, right? Like he might not actually be able to deliver on that because world intervenes, right? Other circumstances intervene.
Yeah, interesting. Well, thanks for breaking that down. I mean, you helped me a lot, and I hope our listeners appreciate that. Well, that was Leah Murray helping us understand DEI from both the K-12 and higher education perspective. Really interesting. We'll see how that goes, and maybe Utah's going to rebound a little bit, or maybe that's just the way we are. When we come back after the break, we're going to talk about this bizarre flurry of hit and runs we've been seeing in Salt Lake County. We now have one in Summit County. It appears to be the same suspect. Stay with us.
It's finally time to say goodbye to the snow and hello to spring, and right now is the best time to spring into adventure in an RV from a Motorsportsland RV Center. Through this week, come check out Motorsportsland's season kickoff event and find the RV you've been dreaming of. Save thousands and even tens of thousands off MSRP and find your next adventure at a Motorsportsland RV Center today.
Let Motorsportsland help you get away.
Motorsportsland.com.